In our series, Names of Wondrous Love, we come today to Jesus' name, the truth. The portion of scripture from the Passion account is familiar and yet challenging. John 18, verses 37 and 38. "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate said. People on the side of truth. For several years, I taught a course at Wisconsin Lutheran College called Introduction to Old and New Testament. It was designed for students who had little or no background in the Christian faith. One of the extra credit assignments that they could opt for was to watch the movie The Passion of the Christ and then write a reflection essay as to how the movie impacted them that should include, among other things, what questions did the movie raise in your mind? Inevitably, one of the questions I'd read in the essay was, why did Pilate sentence Jesus to death when he knew him to be innocent? Well, the answer to that question may be a little bit like looking into a mirror. But let's kind of review how we got to this point in Jesus' passion history. Late Thursday night, the Sanhedrin, the council of 70 political and religious leaders, had condemned Jesus to death. But because Judea was subject to the Roman Empire, they had no authority to actually execute anyone. And so early Friday morning, Jesus had to be brought before the Roman procurator, Pontius Pilate. But the charge that they had trumped up against Jesus in order to condemn them in their court, blasphemy, he called himself the Son of God, wasn't going to fly in Pilate's venue. And so a new charge had to be fabricated. This is what they said. "We found this man corrupting the nation, saying that you shouldn't pay your taxes to Caesar, claiming that he was Christ, a king." Well, there's a little truth in there, huh? But maybe you remember that just a few days earlier that week, the Pharisees had tried to trap Jesus in a soundbite they could use against him with this very taxation question. Remember what Jesus said? "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's." But truth didn't matter much to people who were so sure they were right that whatever means would accomplish their end was perfectly okay, including a bold-faced lie. Pilate didn't investigate the lie because, frankly, he didn't care about truth. He detested the Sanhedrin, and in fact, if he could have let Jesus go, he would have just to rub the Sanhedrin's nose in Rome's power. But when the Jewish leaders cunningly found an end run on Pilate, threatening to go to Rome with a message that Pilate wasn't taking seriously a threat against the empire, well, Pilate covered his behind. Truth didn't matter. Jesus didn't matter. His career mattered. Ironically, one tradition says that shortly hereafter, Pilate was recalled to Rome because of the continuing complaints of his cruelty and arrogance, and he was banished to a backwater of the empire where his career ended in disgrace and suicide. But before we go off on the Sanhedrin and Pilate for the way they cavalierly handled the truth, let's ask ourselves a question or two. Have I ever been so sure I was right that bending the truth a little didn't seem so serious in order to accomplish what I thought was important? Have I ever put my ego or my reputation or my career ahead of the truth and convinced myself I was only doing what's necessary? In fact, have I sometimes treated truth as optional? Then look again at Jesus before Pilate. It wasn't just the Sanhedrin's lie that condemned him to death. It was your lie and my lie. And because Jesus spoke the truth and lived the truth, God could credit that righteousness to our moral ledger. Does it seem as though Jesus gave a kind of oblique answer to Pilate's question, "You are a king then?" Pilate wanted a yes or no answer. Jesus wanted to challenge him to think deeper. You mean a king like Herod? Ruthless and paranoid, hanging on to power by catering to Rome? You mean a king like Caesar? Killing and taxing people into submission and then demanding that they worship him as some kind of deity? Well, let's make that a little more current. You want a political leader who is more interested in public relations spin than truth, because image is more important than character. Oh yeah, Jesus was a king. But he didn't rule with power or politics. He rules with the truth. Jesus rules you and me with the truth about ourselves. The uncomfortable truth that we are serial offenders against God's law and deserve everlasting condemnation. His moral law breaks through our hypocrisy, exposes our sin. He forces us to confront our lustful thoughts and our angry words that we've been trying to rationalize away, because, well, other people are much worse. It's like a doctor who levels with her patient about the cancer that has to be removed. Like that, Jesus confronts us with the truth of a terminal spiritual condition called sin that only he can remove. Now, I know there are preachers of self-esteem out there who will tell you that you're basically a good person, aren't you? Whatever's wrong with you is just because of your experiences as a child, or maybe because of the social injustice in the world around you. That's kind of like having a doctor who tells you what you want to hear. Jesus tells you the truth. And Jesus rules us with the truth about God. Yes, God is holy and just, and sinners have every reason to fear him. But God is also loving and merciful, so sinners don't have to flee him. Jesus tells us the truth about God's love, and then he goes one step further. He doesn't just tell us God loves us, he did. God loves us. And because he was what God demanded of us, and because he was willing to die as the price that our sin required, you and I now are the recipients of God's love for eternity. And because God now is our Father, because he has invested the life of his Son in our salvation, you and I have every reason to know for sure that that love of God is going to carry us through every episode in our life, every financial disaster, every illness, every tragedy, every heartache, until finally we get to experience that love firsthand with him in eternity. Maybe you remember that just a few chapters earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus didn't just tell the truth. He just didn't teach the truth. Jesus is the truth. Christian truth isn't a series of doctrinal statements or a moral code. Christian truth is a person. Jesus. Jesus lived moral truth. So as we read the Gospels, we can see what that looks like and pattern our life after it. Other people can only teach ethical principles. Jesus lived God's love and salvation, offering himself in our place as our substitute under God's judgment. Now other people can only give theories about how to make your way to God. Because Jesus is the truth, you and I are the dearly loved children of God, loved by him for an eternity of bliss. Now, I think there's maybe a little bit bigger thought that lies behind this. be the truth, don't just tell the truth like Jesus? Parents, are your children going to grow up to adopt a moral lifestyle and a Christian worldview because you told them to? Or because you lived what you taught them? Be the truth that you confess if you're going to have an impact on your children or on the people in your sphere of influence. So how do you do that? Well, spend enough time with Jesus in His Word that He rubs off on you. Reflect on what you read in the Bible. Discuss it with others in a Bible class until finally the truth of the gospel becomes the power of the gospel in your heart and life. And if you are going to live the truth of your Christian faith for those around you, then more than anything, confess your sins over and over again to those you've wronged as well as to your Heavenly Father, and hear repeatedly His incredible forgiving love. Because more than anything, Jesus is the truth about forgiveness. I think Pontius Pilate is representative of first century Greco-Roman culture. The virtues of the old Roman Republic had been lost because, frankly, Roman religion didn't pass the truth test. Nobody really believed those myths about Jupiter and his pantheon of self-serving little deities. What's truth? The Roman Empire had conquered enough nations who had their own religions, and they all swirled together back in Rome until people were jaded, indifferent to religious truth. And the ethical principles taught by Plato and Aristotle really didn't stand up in the face of what is simply human nature that would much rather have sensual self-gratification. And the Roman Empire had provided material and sensual pleasure beyond anything you could want. And the result of all this was cynicism. So when Pilate says, "What is truth?" he might simply have been saying, "Who cares about truth? Power matters." Or maybe he was voicing this cynical observation: everybody thinks that he has the truth. Nobody can really claim a corner on the market of truth. So where does this Jesus get off saying, "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me"? Does all this sound just a little too familiar? As you watch contemporary culture hit you in the face in the evening sitcoms, or maybe in the classrooms of secular universities. Political correctness in America today says Christianity is just one of many truth claims, and every culture and every religion is equally valid, no one better than another. In fact, none of them are all that important. What is truth? And moral relativism says what's right is what's right for you. And only an intolerant bigot would condemn somebody else for their sexual lifestyle or their materialistic and self-centered misprioritizing. Where do you get off judging somebody else based on your standards? And the result of all this is cynicism. A life with no meaning, no purpose. A story that has no happy ending. But sooner or later, everyone in the 21st century, like the first century, is going to have to come to grips with Jesus, the person who is the truth, who lived out that truth so that you would understand it. Jesus, the truth about what life is for and what life is worth and where life ends. Jesus taught truth with parables, didn't he? So, to conclude the message this afternoon, I'd like you to watch a video parable about truth before we close with prayer.
This is a red balloon. It's true, it's red. We all know our colors. The absolute truth is that this balloon is red.
No, it's not. That's green.
What?
This right here is a green balloon.
That is the prettiest yellow balloon.
Yellow? This is red. Yeah, come over here.
No, it's green.
It's red! Yeah, I know, it's a red balloon.
Hey, will you look at it from my point of view, please?
What?
Hey, nice blue balloon.
Blue. It's green! Green? It's red!
Why are you saying it's red when it's blue?
Huh?
It's totally purple from here!
Purple? Okay, you know what? Let's just settle this once and for all, okay?
Where are you going?
Hey, what color is this balloon?
I only see in black and white.
Okay. Hey, Mark, what color...
There is no balloon.
This is ridiculous!
Hey, I know what the problem is. Look, my mom taught me that this was blue. But, you know, then she said this is red and green, yellow, you know, and on and on.
Okay, I get that your mom taught you that that was blue, but, I mean, that's not the truth.
Whoa, why are you talking bad about his mom?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Listen, I respect your mother.
Thank you.
And the way she raised you. She taught you that it was blue. Our moms taught us that it was red. Right. That's the way it goes.
I thought you said it was green.
It is green. See, I'm smart. I went to college. And in college, I learned all these different theories about color.
Really?
And my color professors, who have doctorates in color... Do you have a doctorate in color?
No.
It shows.
Ooh, okay.
They can't even agree on one theory of color, so you have to look at all the different theories and pick which one works best for you. And green is great for me.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
No, you can't just pick whatever color fits your life the best. Red is red.
Okay, do you know the word intolerant?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're being right now. All right, you're shoving your opinion down my throat.
Okay, it's not my opinion, it's the truth.
Hold on, hold on. All we're saying is that we need to stop arguing about trivial things. Like truth.
You know, the funny thing about truth is, it's true, whether you believe it or not.
Let's conclude with prayer. As Jesus prayed the night before his passion, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And his final word was Jesus, the truth. Amen.